Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Ron Peterson is our guest and our good friend, ladies and gentlemen. He's a member of our Brain Trust. Ron is the president of Three Arrows Capital Corp, which is an investment banking firm in beautiful downtown Bethesda, Maryland. He's got over 30 years of experience on Wall Street. He helps people to find the capital that they need. His book is called When Venture Capitalists Say No, and he's our good friend. Ron, welcome back to the show.
Well, howdy, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back, and I really appreciate you pointing out for us what you're going to do today. You notified me the other day about some things that you've learned about technology transfer and the whole concept and some specifics, and I wanted to get you back on the show. We touched on this a little bit, I think, during your last visit, but I wanted to spend some more time on this. And what I'd like for you to do first is I promised the audience that in case they didn't know exactly what it meant, most people have heard the term technology transfer, but I think a lot of people have never really had it defined for them. Would you do that? Would you take a minute and give us the definition of technology transfer?
Sure, Jim. I think it's essentially taking a technology that's been developed in one place and putting it into an effective business model, that is showing how to use it to make a dollar, to make a company, to get. One of the best examples around, I think, is Bill Gates, because remember back over 20 years ago, he licensed DOS, D-O-S, the Disk Operating System, from the Seattle Computer Products, and he then relicensed it to IBM, or supplied it to IBM, and for the $50,000, he became the richest man in the world. That's taking technology from one place, developed with a computer company, and putting it into something else.
And he didn't invent anything, did he?
Nope, but he was a right good businessman. For people who like quiz shows, they might have watched the program Jeopardy last night, and one of the questions or answers that they confused the two with was about the vacuum cleaner. It wasn't Hoover who invented the vacuum cleaner. It was a janitor, and Hoover bought the patent. The one taking that.
Yeah.
He was the person who had the vision to build the company. And American economic history, world economic history, is filled with examples like that. What's disturbing is this, Jim. You come across lots of entrepreneurs who have their business plans floating out there, and they figure they have to spend years in development until they get to the point where they've got a product or a service that they can offer, and they're looking for money. That's when I usually see them. But that's awfully risky, especially when the nation's universities, federal labs, and corporations are filled with technologies that are waiting for somebody with the vision, the energy, the talent, and the skills to build a company. So that's what's really in scarce supply.
And the universities have already paid the money. The grants have already come in. The green eye shade, garters on their sleeve. Researchers, the people we have to lock up at night, they've already done their work, and they're happy as clams, and they're not really in it for the money. They're ready to move on to the next little project that they've got.
These
projects are just sitting there waiting on the next Bill Gates to see the opportunity, and maybe even look at it in a way that nobody's ever looked at it before. Maybe it's sitting there and it looks like a car. But you or I look at it and we see a window, or we see a rocket ship, or we see a lawnmower. You know, it could be depending on how we look at it. And there are thousands of these examples out there, aren't there?
There are more and more every day. That is, the technology has been developed. It's fully paid for and waiting. And there's a federal mandate. Federal laws so that the federal labs have to find some way to commercialize so much going on, and they don't. That entrepreneurial talent, I'm sure, as you've seen in your years too, is scarce. So you see states, nations, counties, and the like spending a lot of money on R&D when perhaps that's maybe a little misguided and terribly expensive. Instead, maybe spend the money, spend the energy in helping entrepreneurs develop companies. Use the technology that's already developed because it's increasing around the world, not decreasing.
Well, I know that you see a lot of deals, Ron, and you're as a venture capitalist, as a investment company, a merchant banking company. I know you see a lot of deals out there, and probably you see too many deals where the plan spends way too much time in the not pre-profit but pre-revenue stage.
Yeah, and that's risky if you're an investor. You know what it, Jim, if you take a look at it yourself and some guy comes up and he wants you to invest money in the company, he's got two propositions, one of which is, look, I need this money so I can spend the next 2 years in the lab working out this thing. And after that, I'm going to go see if it'll sell. I'm sure it'll sell, but I have to find that out. I think most of us as investors want the guy to say, okay, we already developed that in the lab. Now we've tested it, and we found out that it does sell. That's when we want to start putting money in.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is when you've ferreted out a technology that you think you've created an opportunity for, that's the kind of thing that really makes a venture capitalist get excited, because now you're maybe, instead of being 2 or 3 years pre-revenue, maybe you're only 6 months pre-revenue. Maybe you're only, you know, you've compressed the pre-profit stage, you know, down by two-thirds or something like that.
Jim, it seems that most entrepreneurs don't realize that venture capitalists are not looking for risk. In fact, almost nobody, except maybe an Evel Knievel, is looking for risk. They're looking for something as proven as can be. They're stewards of money. They've got pension funds and the rest that they have to answer to. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to go out on a wing and a prayer when they can see something that's already well developed.
That's right. Well, now, okay, we're going to a break in about a minute, but get us started on where we can find, we can identify some of these transfer opportunities.
There are so many sources, it's hard to know where to begin, but always the closest university is one place to start. There are so many websites, and we've got them listed in a new paper that's free. It's a study on technology transfer in the life sciences. It doesn't have to be in the life sciences, but this illustrates how to do it. And if they like, we'll have it on our website, okay. www.3arrowscapital, and it's so much information, maybe a little overwhelming, but it's all free. We'll have that up in about a week or so.
Okay.
But otherwise, they can contact www.3arrowscapital.com.
All right. Stand by, Ron. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to get into a little more detail. We're going to pick Ron's brain some more about how to get this process started. Where do you start? How do you move through the process and ultimately to success? 20 after. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. .com/business center. It's a great small business website. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Ron Peterson, the author of When Venture Capitalists Say No, Creative Financing Strategies and Resources. Ron, tell us where your book's available.
Oh, thank you. It's sold at Amazon, but they can get a faster delivery by just calling us at 3 Arrows Capital in Bethesda, Maryland, or going to our website, 3arrowscapital.com. Three is spelled out.
Yeah. Check that out, folks, and find out what Ron has to say. I think a lot of you out there trying to get capital for your business, and you've gone as far as you can go with your banks, and you're looking for further opportunities, you might want to check into some of the things that Ron offers. And I know that you'll benefit from his book, because it's an important one, especially for those of you who are seeking capital, because it is a process, folks. It's a discipline. It's not just a little, you know, it's not just deciding to give a proposal to a venture capitalist. You've really got to understand the protocol. You have to understand the process. And I think you'll find out about that by knowing more about what Ron does. Ron, let's get back into this technology transfer situation, and the thing about it is, you know, innovations are just everywhere out there, and a lot of times, you know, the people who are doing the coolest things are finding the niche opportunities with maybe something that's kind of old technology even. I mean, when I say old, I don't mean 100 years old, but I mean maybe something that's 5 or 8 years old. They're finding a new way to leverage that technology.
They are, and for some people, Jim, it can be a very technical thing, or the others, it can be very, very mild. Take American companies. Procter & Gamble is a very good example, but say that they invest into a new product, a consumer-based product they're very excited, very interested in. So they spend the time in the lab, and then they do the market research as well, and they find that their market isn't big enough for them. For instance, maybe a Procter & Gamble product has to be $100 or $200 million product a year for them to decide to put it into their portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So if they find something that's only a $5 or $10 million product, there's no way they can launch it. But they have a whole website devoted to technologies that they'd love to spin out or otherwise license. Now, $5 or $10 million product may not be interesting for Procter & Gamble, but for many entrepreneurs around the world, something that would sell $5 or $10 million with would be the answer to a prayer.
Could be their future.
Absolutely, and Procter isn't alone. 3M does this, and more American companies and companies overseas as well.
Okay, but Ron, I'm sitting here listening to you at my kitchen table, and or maybe I'm in my office, and I'm trying to decide where my company is going to go, where my professional efforts are going to be placed in the new millennium. And you're telling me something that sounds interesting, but I want spell it out for me. How do I pick up the phone? How do I go online and find these people and get this process started?
I think the first thing is to take a few minutes, and that's to read this white paper that they can have for free on technology transfer, because they need to see the ins and outs of this thing. And you'll see there are so many telephone numbers, websites, individuals.
It's a very, very technical paper, folks. I've got a copy of it. There's a lot of stuff in there. I will tell you that there's so much stuff in there that it's almost intimidating, because it's chock full of so much stuff. Ron, I appreciate you making it available.
Sorry about that.
No. The main thing I wanted people to know is that that's the good news. It's just that it's not going to be like reading the Parade magazine on Sunday morning.
No, we're trying to show things that people can really get their teeth into.
Yeah, exactly. But what is it, about 50, 60 pages?
Yeah, it is, but the whole process can be as easy as making a telephone call to your local university.
Right.
Exactly. Could be a vice president for research, chatting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way to start, Jim.
And of course, every university doesn't have a research division. Some of them
do,
some of them don't.
No, but more and more of them do.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the big ones are at MIT, at Stanford, the University of Wisconsin, Columbia, but you can see them across the United States now. There are hundreds and hundreds of universities that have technology transfer offices, or it may be called, let's say, the Vice President for Research and Development. And they may have a little pamphlet.
Typically, when we think of technology transfer, the next logical step is manufacturing. But you don't have to be a manufacturer to take advantage of technology transfer, do you?
No, not at all. States and counties are very much looking for manufacturing businesses because they want employers to come in and take up the slack. But it doesn't have to be. It can be software. It can be a service company.
You can contract out the manufacturing
easily, and
yeah,
that's what's being done today all around the world. But you do have to have that business sense, that vision, that feel for a market, the ability to get something sold. That's where the real talent lies, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we call an entrepreneur.
And you need to do you're going to need to do a little bit of research to see if what you're looking at, what you're thinking about, is something viable that people will actually pay money for. You'll have to spend a little time and money on that.
Yep. And as you know, there's a lot of discovery, accident, and randomness in getting a company really going. You can start with one product and then by sheer serendipity find that it sells in another direction.
Right. And also, don't forget, Ron, we live in a global marketplace. Sometimes things have to be germinated in other parts of the world before they actually become popular here. And that we see that happening all the time. Ron,
yep,
thank you for being here. It's a pleasure to have you here, and we really appreciate the resource that you are for us.
Always my pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
Ron Peterson, ladies and gentlemen, with one T. Ron Peterson with one T. His website is 3 Arrows Capital, 3 spelled out, 3 Arrows Capital www.theamericanbusinessacademy.com. Check it out, and don't forget to get that free white paper. He said it'll be ready in about a week. Quick break. I'll be right back with Fred Siegel. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.